بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. After apologizing for our late beginning, we pick up in our Daras Ikhwan from the affair that we discussed in the last session, and that is the war or the Harb of Bi'ath. And we said that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who were with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in Mecca, they of course had the privilege at that early stage of hearing the early teachings of the Messenger and the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was active in giving and attempting to call the various tribes around the Arabian Peninsula to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of those tribes rejected the da'wah and the call of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is something documented and something that we mentioned in the previous sessions. The many tribes that rejected the call of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the people of Medina visited the Messenger or visited Mecca and came across the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and him giving da'wah and calling them. And so when he called a number of them, a small group of them, and we mentioned there were some 6 or 7 men, they readily entered into Islam, knowing that the people of Medina were expecting the coming of a messenger. So they said that when we heard that you were claiming or saying that you were the Messenger of Allah and that you were one that was sent by Allah Azza wa Jal with wahi, we knew that your statement and your call was true. And we said that we were not going to, since we were warring between Aws and Khazraj, and both of those two tribes who were present in Medina had with them Yahud, people of the book. Some of them had taken the side of one, side of Aws. Some of them had taken the side of Khazraj. That those people of the book, they were saying, and they used to, when we would fight with them, they would say to us that Allah Azza wa Jal is soon to send a messenger that we're going to fight behind, and we're going to kill you with the killing of Ad and Iram. So we knew that that messenger was you. And so the first group of companions from Medina, they embraced, after meeting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the region of Aqaba, they returned after the Mawsim and after the period of Hajj back to their people in Medina. And of course, being new Muslims and having the zeal of the new Muslim, they returned back to their people of Medina, informing them of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and informing them of that which they had entered into, and that is that they had become Muslimin. And so they returned back to their people and they began themselves to give da'wah and to call to Allah Azza wa Jal themselves. Of course, their knowledge was very small and limited in terms of what they had taken from the Messenger over those days, but they returned in any case informing their people of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So what we have then is, after that initial sitting and after that initial gathering of those few men, and they return back to their people giving them da'wah, and they return back to their people calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, what we had in the year that issued was that the people of Medina, they became increasingly interested in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and in Islam. And so the following year, there was a gathering of some 12 men who returned, or some of them being those men who were initially present in the first gathering, and some of them being additional men who accompanied that first group and returned back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the following year. And so we have then those 12 men. From them, 2 of them were from Aws, and the remaining 10 were from the tribe of Khazraj. As far as those 12 men are concerned, then in terms of their names, the Mu'arrikhun and the scholars of Tariq and Sirah, they mention the first of them, As'ad ibn Zurara, who was in the initial meeting or the initial gathering a year earlier. We likewise have Auf and Mu'ad ibn al-Harith, that they were two brothers, the brothers of Afra, Auf and Mu'ab ibn al-Harith ibn al-Athra ibn al-Harith. Similarly, we have from Bani Zurayq ibn Amir, Rafi ibn Malik al-Ajlani, and Zakwan ibn Abd al-Qais. From Auf ibn Khazraj, we have Ubadat ibn Samit, Yazid ibn Tha'laba. From Bani Salim ibn Auf, we have Al-Abbas ibn Ubada, and that is not Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but an Abbas that was present in Medina. He, in terms of his name, was Al-Abbas ibn Ubada ibn Nadla. Ibn Nadla. As far as Bani Salama, then we have Qutba ibn Amir. From Bani Haram ibn Ka'ab, we have Uqba ibn Amir. And from the Aus, the tribe or the section of Aus known as Bani Abd al-Ashhal, we have Abu al-Haytham ibn Tayhan. And from Bani Amr ibn Auf, we have Uwaymir or Uwaym ibn Sa'ida. All of those 12 met the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Aqaba, which is a region close to Mina, similar to the region of Mina where we now have the gatherings after or prior to and after the days of Hajj. So in that region, they gave bay'ah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those 12 men returned and they knew. Yani many of them were already Muslimun from the previous year. And the rest of them had returned in order to give bay'ah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since the period of that year caused them to desire that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or that they, of course, listen further to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they pledge allegiance to him. And in that regard, we have the narration of Ubadat ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, who said, كُنْتُ مِمَّنْ حَضَرَ الْعَقَبَةِ الْأُولَى وَكُنَّا إِثْنَا عَشَرَ رَجُلًا فَبَايَعْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى بَيْعَةِ النِّسَاءِ وَذَلِكَ قَبْلَ أَنْ تُفْرِضْ الْحَرْبِ عَلَى أَنْ لَا نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا نَسْرِقْ وَلَا نَزْنِي وَلَا نَقْتُلْ أَوْلَادَنَا وَلَا نَأْتِيَ بِبُهْتَانٍ نَفْتَرِيهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِينَا وَأَرْجُلِنَا وَلَا نَعْسِيهِ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ وَفِيتُمْ فَلَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنْ غَشِيتُمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَأَمْرُكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَهُ. This narration is one that there has in it something from dispute among the scholars of hadith. In any case, and that is dispute in terms of what it indicates and its meaning. This narration is on the authority of Ubadah ibn Samit, who said that indeed I was from those who were present at Al-Aqabatil Ula. I was from those who were present at Al-Aqabatil Ula. Wa kunna ithna ashara rajulan. And we were some 12 men. He said, so we gave the bay'ah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala bay'atil nisa. Ala bay'atil nisa. That is, we gave the bay'ah in accordance with bay'atil nisa. Bay'atil nisa was the bay'ah that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took from the women when they made the migration from Mecca to Medina. Many of the women who migrated from Mecca to Medina, some of them were women who were married and were married to mushrikun, who had heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his da'wah, who were interested in Islam or had embraced Islam, and so decided to make the migration from Mecca to Medina. When they made the migration, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded to test them. And that is what we have in Surah Al-Mumtahina, that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, when the mu'minat al-muhajirat, when they come to you, famtahinuhun. Allahu a'lamu bi'imanihin. Test them, try them, yani examine them. Allah knows best concerning their iman. And that was because of the fact that from them were women who just were in bad situations with their husbands, and so saw the migration and the hijrah as the opportunity to leave. And so we had women who used to just leave because of the fact that the opportunity was there to relocate in Medina alongside the Messenger of Allah and those people who had already migrated. And so Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Messenger to test them, try them, test them in terms of their iman. Not that they were just women who wanted to leave their husbands, but that truly they were believers who intended to migrate to Allah Azza wa Jal and to His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to abandon the land of shirk and the oppression and persecution that they were receiving there. And so Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that they be tried and that they be tested. When that occurred then, the bay'ah or the pledge of allegiance was taken from those women after it was established that they were believers. And so Allah Azza wa Jal commanded His Messenger to take a pledge of allegiance from them. And that occurs of course at the end of Surah Al-Mumtahina. And so here, Ubadah ibn Samit, he mentioned that we, the 12 men, we were commanded to make the bay'ah, bay'atun nisa, bay'atun nisa. And then he mentions the text or the wording in terms of the terms of the bay'ah, and that is, أَنْ لَا نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا نَسْرِكْ وَلَا نَزْنِي وَلَا نَقْتُلَ أَوْلَادَنَا وَلَا نَأْتِيَ بِبُهْتَانٍ نَفْتَرِيهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِينَا وَأَرْجُلِنَا وَلَا نَعْسِيهِ فِي مَعْرُوفٍ. Firstly, that we do not make shirk with Allah. Secondly, that we do not steal. Thirdly, that we do not commit zina. Fourthly, that we do not kill our children. Fifthly, that we do not fabricate a lie and fabricate lies. Of course, this some of the scholars hold that it is a reference to lies against Allah Azza wa Jal. And fifthly, that we do not disobey Him in that which is considered deen and good. That was the bay'ah and the pledge of allegiance that was taken from the women, and it was the same pledge of allegiance that some hold was taken here. Though this is an affair, as we mentioned, that is disputed, since the strongest of the narrations are not worded in the manner that this narration that was collected by Ibn Ishaq is worded. The strongest of the narrations, such as the version that was collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, do not mention that this was Bay'atul Aqaba al-Ula, that which is authentic from these narrations. Since this narration that is collected by Ibn Ishaq, there is issues in terms of and in relation to authenticity. That which is authentic and that which is present in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim is that Ubadah ibn Samit, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam وحوله عصابة من أصحابه وحوله عصابة من أصحابه بايعونا على أن لا نشرك بالله شيئا ولا تسرقوا ولا تزنوا ولا تقتلوا أولادكم ولا تأتين ببهتان تفترونه بين أيديكم وأرجلكم ولا تعسوا في معروف. This bay'ah then, or this hadith that describes the bay'ah and speaks about the bay'ah, has in it that Ubadah ibn Samit, when he was surrounded by some of his companions, he said, we took the pledge of allegiance from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we do not make shirk with Allah, that we do not steal, that we do not fornicate, that we do not kill our children, and that we do not fabricate a lie. And so here, the affair of this narration and that which is present within it from the statement of Ubadah ibn Samit is that he said to his companions and those who were with him that we took the bay'ah from the Messenger of Allah, and it does not mention or stipulate that it was related to Bay'at al-Aqabat al-Ula. And so the scholars discuss then the Bay'at al-Nisa, that which is present here, from the terms that were taken from the women, was it the same Bay'ah and was it the same terms that were present in Bay'at al-Aqabat al-Ula? Was it the same terms that were present that were taken from the women that the Prophet ﷺ took from the first group of the Ansar who came after the first six small group of individuals had listened to the da'wah of the Messenger and accepted it, and then the following year those 12 individuals returned? did they take when they returned and took the bay'ah? Was it bay'atun nisa or was it some other bay'ah? And this then is the issue that the people of knowledge debate and discuss in the kutub, particularly the kutub of hadith and seer. That which is most correct and is the position of Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar and others is that bay'atun nisa and the terms of bay'atun nisa was not what was present in bay'atul aqabatil ula. And that they say that this narration and the strongest who argues in relation to the mas'ala is Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, who mentions that it was not bay'atul aqaba, or it was not during the first bay'atul aqaba that the Prophet ﷺ took bay'atul nisa from the men. Rather, bay'atul nisa did come from the men, yani the same terms that the Prophet ﷺ took from the women, he took from the men, but not in bay'atul aqabatil ula. Not this bay'ah, not this pledge of allegiance that took place prior to the hijrah. But there were a number of occasions where the Prophet ﷺ took bay'ah from his companions. From them was a bay'ah that occurred later, after Hudaybiyah. In fact, after Fath Makkah, after the conquest of Makkah. And what is most correct is that this is what was inclusive within that bay'ah. Yani, bay'atul nisa was in the bay'ah that was taken from the companions later. As far as this bay'ah, then this bay'ah, in terms of its wording, was a much simpler and a more basic bay'ah that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam took from his companions. And that bay'ah, or the wording of that bay'ah, is likewise present in an authentic narration. And that is the narration Ubadah ibn Samit, he mentions, and it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere, he mentions that the nature of the bay'ah was that the Prophet ﷺ, he took from them their statement, Ubayi'ukum ala an tamna'uni mimma tamna'una minhu nisa'akum wa abna'akum. That again, as we mentioned a few days ago, that the bay'ah was that the Ansar prevent the Messenger, and that is protect the Messenger from that which they would protect their women and children. That they protect the Messenger from that which they will protect their women and children. And that is that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam then would have in the Ansar individuals who would protect him in order that he may convey the da'wah and the call to Allah Azza wa Jal. As far as the wording of the bay'ah in Sahih al-Bukhari, the same hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, he said, Bay'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala al-sam'i wa al-ta'a fil manshati wal makrah wa an la nunazi' al-amra ahla wa an naquma'a aw naqula bil haqqi haythuma kunna la nakhafu fillahi lawmat la'im. In this bay'ah then, and this is probably the most detailed of the versions of the hadith, which indicates to you the simplicity and the simplistic nature of the bay'ah, is that Ubadah ibn Samit, he said that we took a bay'ah from the Messenger of Allah that we would hear and obey in good times and in hard times, and that we would not contend positions that were given to individuals, and that we would establish or that we would say and speak the truth, and we would establish this, the truth or speak the truth wherever we are, and that we would not fear in the way of Allah the blame of the blamers. That was a detailed bay'ah that was taken by those early Ansar, the first group that returned after being 6 men, returned as 12 men, and took that bay'ah from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the region of Aqaba, as we mentioned, which is a region close to Mina. Any of you who have visited Mina or made Hajj, then you will know the region of Mina, that was where bay'atul Aqaba took place. And so the bay'ah then was a lot simpler than that which is present in the hadith, or the previous hadith that refers to bay'atun nisa. As we mentioned, bay'atun nisa was the bay'ah that was taken later. Now, and so the affair then of the bay'ah, after the initial bay'ah had come from the initial group of Ansar, and remember, when we're dealing here with the Ansar, we're dealing with those companions and those who had embraced in Medina. The Muhajirun in Mecca, they were already with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So we're dealing with a different group of companions here. We're dealing with those who were in Medina and who had visited Mecca, heard of the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah, embraced Islam, returned, came back a year later, twice their number, and then called to Allah Azza wa Jal, or were called to Allah Azza wa Jal, embraced and took the bay'ah, or the first pledge of allegiance. As far as the pledge of allegiance is concerned, then after the pledge of allegiance, there were a few things that had taken place. Those who had returned to Medina, they began to establish the Salah in Medina. And that includes Salatul Jumu'ah. And the first Jumu'ah that was established in Medina was established by that companion from the Ansar, who was at the head, in essence, of the Ansar, and was considered from the forerunners among the Ansar, number one in embracing Islam and in facilitating ease for the spread of the da'wah in Medina. And he was a great, great companion, so great that some of the companions, they used to mention him regularly even after his death. Ka'b ibn Malik would regularly say, whenever he would hear the azan of Jumu'ah, he would say, Rahimallahu Az'ad ibn Zurara. May Allah have mercy upon As'ad ibn Zurara. And that was because of the fact that he was the first companion from the Ansar to establish Jumu'ah in Medina. Not only was he the first companion to establish Jumu'ah in Medina, but he likewise was the first to accompany the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to teach and educate the people of Medina. Because after that first bay'ah, bay'atul Aqaba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab ibn Umair was the first safir, or was the first ambassador, if you like, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sent to convey the message that he had learned with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasallam, being from the closest of the companions from the Muhajirun, who had sat with the Messenger of Allah, studied with the Messenger of Allah, and in fact abandoned the wealth of his family and became poor, became from those who, after being affluent and wealthy, became very poor alongside the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, of course, he exchanged his riches for poverty with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the others from among the companions were busy in the marketplaces and with their jobs and work, Mus'ab ibn Umair accompanied the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would benefit from him, would take from him, and had no desire except to learn from the Messenger and to learn and study the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus he was the ideal candidate to be sent back to Medina in order to educate the people of Medina. One who had accompanied the Messenger of Allah, had witnessed the revelation, was taught and learned and studied the Sunnah alongside the Messenger of Allah. Of course, the Quran and the Sunnah, as far as that point was concerned and that which had been revealed of it, he was from the best of those who would regularly accompany the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and take from him. So the Prophet sallam sent him back with those 12 men in order to teach, educate, and in order to remain with them during the following year. And so Mus'ab ibn Umair when he went back to Medina, he was put up and was taken in by As'ad ibn Zurara. As'ad ibn Zurara, just as in this present time, in almost every city, there are, and in every country and city within those countries, we have brothers who are at the forefront of the call to Allah and of the da'wah. And the places that we visit in order to aid and support their da'wah, there is always an individual or two who is at the head of their da'wah and is probably the most active in calling to Allah Azza wa Jal within their region and in facilitating ease in relation to the da'wah. And that in relation to the people of Medina was As'ad ibn ibn Zurara. As'ad, he of course, as we mentioned, was the one that established the first Jumu'ah. And so we understand then that he was respected by his people. He was the one that when Mus'ab came, that he gave him residence, he gave him a place to stay and looked after him. And he similarly was the one that went with Mus'ab to the various individuals, notables in and among Medina, calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have an example of that in a narration that we will mention inshallah in its place. And so the presence of individuals such as As'ad are of major importance in every region and in every place. And of course, every individual within their city and within their region and within their town should strive to be As'ad ibn Zurara. That one that, by way of him, da'wah is facilitated. By way of him, yani the call to Allah Azza wa Jal is established. By way of him, individuals hear the da'wah and they read of the da'wah, they are able to study it and benefit it. Each and every one of us should strive to be that As'ad ibn Zurara within our capacities. And so the da'wah then it began to spread in the period or that initial period after the bay'ah, the first bay'ah to al-Aqaba. To highlight the narration here that we'll mention that highlights the manner in which the da'wah spread within Medina and the fact that As'ad ibn Zurara was from them. There is a narration that we will come to after we mention the narration that we mentioned of Ka'b ibn Malik. Abdullah, the son of Ka'b ibn Malik, he said, كُنْتُ قَائِدًا أَوْ كُنْتُ قَائِدَ أَبِي بَعْدَمَا ذَهَبَ بَصَرُهُ وَكَانَ لَا يَسْمَعُ الْأَذَانِ بالجمعة إلا قال رحمة الله على أسعد بن زرارة قلت يا أبتي إنه لتعجبني صلاتك على أبي أمامة يعني أسعد كلما سمعت الأذان بالجمعة فقال أبو أي بني كان أول من جمع الجمعة بالمدينة في الحرة حرة بني بياضة في نقيع يقال له الخصمات قلت وكم أنت يومئذ قال 40 رجلا. Here he mentions that this is Abdullah ibn Ka'b ibn Malik. He said that I used to be the qa'id, that is, I was the one that would guide my father after he lost his sight. That is, that Ka'b ibn Malik, he went blind. After he lost his sight, Abdullah, his son, was the one that used to take him around, would bring him around and would guide him. He said, so every time he would hear the azan for Jumu'ah, he used to say, may the mercy of Allah be upon As'ad ibn Zurara. So I said, oh my father, it amazes me. Every time you hear the azan of Jumu'ah, that you make this dua for Abu Umama, which is the kunya of As'ad ibn Zurara. He said, yes, my son. كان أول من جمع الجمعة بالمدينة. He said, yes, my son, that is because of the fact that he was the first one to gather people for Jumu'ah in Medina. in the region, and in the Harra, which is a region of volcanic rock, known in our time as Harra al-Sharqiyya in Medina. He was the first one that would gather the people in the Harra of Bani Bayada, في نقي يقال له الخصمات قلت, and he would do so in a region that was known as خصمات, a place that water would gather, and so the people knew of it as a watering place. That he was the first one to gather the people for Jumu'ah in that region. And so he said, قلت, so I said to my father, how many were you at that time? How many men were you? He said, أربعون رجلا, that we were 40. And so at that time in Medina, there were only 40 believers, and that includes the 12 that returned after Bay'at al-Aqaba, and the remaining adad, the remaining number. In total, there were 40 individuals during that time. And so Asad ibn Zurara, he would give them or establish Jumu'ah with them. As far as then the narration that indicates the da'wah, the manner in which the companions, the early companions, As'ad, Mus'ab ibn Umayr, and others would give da'wah, is a narration that speaks about the Islam of two of the leaders of Medina, two of the heads within Medina. One being Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh, that companion, that Sahabi al-Jaleel, who the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the throne of Allah عز وجل shook upon the death of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. That companion who the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that indeed there is no individual that will escape the compression of the grave. That is, when a person enters his grave, he is compressed by the grave, every individual, believer and disbeliever. And this is not the punishment of the grave. This is the compression of the grave. That is, that individuals will be squeezed by the grave. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if anyone was going to escape it, then it would have been Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was, as we mentioned previously, the individual who, or one of them, who was close to be deemed the Amir and the leader and head of the people of Medina. When the Messenger ﷺ became apparent, then, of course, when they desired that the Messenger make the migration from Mecca to Medina, he abdicated his position, he gave it up to the Messenger of Allah. And that is the nature of true Iman. That wealth and position, ikhwan, they sacrifice that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger. Which is in opposition to Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who was known as the head and the leader of the munafiqeen, the leader of the hypocrites, he was in a similar position. But he was upset by the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that caused him, number one, to disbelieve or to reject Iman in the Messenger, but number two, to seek to destroy Islam from within. And so he pretended to be a Muslim. He feigned Islam and pretended to be upon Iman. And so, while he was present in and among the ranks of the believers, he was attempting with various plots and schemes to destroy Islam from within. And so we have two very different individuals. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, alongside another great companion from the companions of Medina, Usayd ibn Hudayr, were considered from the greatest and noblest of a tribe known as Bani Abd al-Ash'al. Bani Abd al-Ash'al was the portion, and we mentioned, if you remember, the 12 who made the migration, or the 12 who had come in order to give bay'ah, from them were individuals from Bani Abd al-Ash'al. And we had from them Abu al-Haytham ibn al-Tayhan. The leaders of Bani Abd al-Ash'al were As'ad ibn Hudayr, or Usayd ibn Hudayr, and As'ad ibn Zurara. These were at the head of Bani Abu Abd al-Ashhal. There's a narration then that indicates the Islam of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and Usayd ibn Hudayr. In that regard, we have that which clarifies the fact that number one, they embraced at the hands of these two companions, of Mus'ab ibn Umayr and of As'ad ibn Zurara. But it was As'ad ibn Zurara that was bringing Mus'ab to these various individuals in order to give them da'wah. And so since Mus'ab of course was the alim of the companions who were present within Medina, the one who was sent by the Messenger of Allah ﷺ to teach them, we have then that which indicates a practice that continues, and that is the accompanying or sending men of knowledge to places and to regions in order to educate them, and then that those individuals, after being educated, will benefit those people who are around them. And that is what, upon the commissioning of Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, the Islamic University began to do. Islamic University Medina, sending individuals to various regions in order to educate the people of those regions. Since within Medina there are many professors and ulama, people of knowledge and hadith and sunnah, who were and are acquainted with the deen and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that this great alim from the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, Sheikh Samahatul Walid Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, decided to send those individuals to various regions in order to educate them in the various Islamic countries and non-Muslim countries likewise. So we see this practice, ikhwan, it has its root in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in relation to the affair then, we have an authentic narration wherein As'ad ibn Zurara, he left out with Mus'ab ibn Umayr, intending the dar or the region where Banu Abd al-Ash'at lived. He went alongside Mus'ab ibn Umayr to the dar of Bani Abd al-Ash'al. He mentioned دار بني ظفر فدخل به حائطا من حوائط بني ظفر على بئر يقال له بئر مرق فجلس في الحائط واجتمع إليهما رجال ممن أسلم وكان سعد بن معاذ وأسيد بن حضير يومئذ سيدا قومهما من بني عبد الأشهل وكلاهما مشرك على دين قومه. So Mus'ab ibn Umayr alongside As'ad ibn Zurara, they both went to the region of the tribe of Bani Abd al-Ash'al. And they went to a region known as the Ha'it, which was like a piece of a plot of land which was usually surrounded by walls and usually had within it date palm trees and what have you. And sometimes they were very beautiful and the people would gather within them, and their nadwas or their sittings would be in those gardens or within those allotments or regions. So they went to one of them, the one that was most popular among that people, and they sat. And within it was Sa'd ibn Mu'ad and Usayd ibn Hudayr, and they both at that time were the leaders of Bani Abd al-Ash'al. Both of them were mushrikun, and they were upon the deen of their people. And so when they heard about Mus'ab ibn Umayr, since they had heard and it was spreading around Medina that there was an individual sent by one who was claiming to be a prophet in Mecca, and sent to teach. And so they heard that he was present in Medina. They heard about him and that he was actively giving da'wah and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, he said to Usayd ibn Hudayr that as far as I am concerned, we should go to these two individuals, we should approach them, and ask them concerning what it is they intend with our weak ones. Yani, what is it they're intending? Because in their opinion, they had come to change the minds and to change the morals and ethics and religion of our weaker ones, the people who will listen to you. As far as the notables, then as far as they were concerned, the notables won't be changed, but you're targeting the weaker ones. And so it angered them. And so they said that if it were not, فَإِنَّهُ لَوْلَا أَنَّ أَشْعَثَ بْنُ إِبْنِ زُرَارَةَ مِنِّي حَيْثُ قَدْ عَلِمْتَ كَفِيكَ ذَلِكَ وَهُوَ إِبْنِ خَالَتِي. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he said that if it were not for the fact that As'ab ibn Zurarah was from me, and that is that he was the son of his paternal aunt, or his maternal aunt. He said, so if it were not for the fact that he was from me, had this position with me, then I would have dealt with him as well. And so he said, you then, that is Usayd ibn Hudayr, you confront them concerning this. And so Usayd ibn Hudayr, he took his hirba, which was like a spear that was used. It was oftentimes used in warfare. And then he headed towards them. And when he saw As'ad ibn Zurarah, he said to Mus'ab ibn Umayr, هذا سيد قومه قد جاءك. That is, As'ad said to Mus'ab, this is the leader of his people. This is one of the heads of his tribe coming towards you right now. Be true to Allah Azza wa Jalla in relation to him. Yani, address him with the truth. And so Mus'ab, when he approached Mus'ab, he said to him, or he said that he's back to As'ad as Usayd was approaching, he said, إِنْ يَجْلِسْ أُكَلِّمُ. He said, if he sits down, then I'll address him, I'll speak to him. He said, فَجَاءَ أُسَيْدْ وَوَقَفَ عَلَيْهِمَا مُتَشَتِّمًا. So he came and stood in front of them with a staunch, angry face. And so, قَالَ مَا جَاءَ بِكُمَا إِلَيْنَا تُسَفِّهَانِ ضُعَفَاءَنَا. He said, what is it that has brought the two of you? Is it that you're trying to pick off our weak ones, our du'afa? And so, he said, اِعْتَزِلْنَا إِن كَانَتْ لَكُمَا بِأَنفُسِكُمَا هَاجَةً. And so he said, اِعْتَزِلَانَا, both of you away from us, if you know what is good for you. And so, Mus'ab ibn Umayr, he said, in simple terms, he addressed him saying, Awa tajlis fatasma. He said to him, then will you not sit so as to listen to me? And in one of this anger and spear, sit down and listen. And so he said, فَإِنْ رَضِيتَ أَمْرًا قَبِلْتَ. He said, and if you are pleased with the affair, then accept it. If you like what you hear, accept it. He said, وَإِنْ كَرِهْتَ كُفَّ عَنْكَ مَا تَكْرَهُ. If you don't like it, then just abstain from what you don't like. So Usayd ibn Hudayr, he said, and Safta. He said, well, that's fair. And so he sat down, he stuck his spear into the ground, and he sat with them. And so Mus'ab ibn Umayr, he gave him da'wah and addressed him concerning Islam and recited the Quran to him. And again, ikhwan, it is unfortunate that we're studying this in the English language, because we would understand the effect that the Qur'an had upon the companions, just the recitation of the Qur'an, and the difference between their speech and the speech of the shu'ara, the speech of the poet, and that which was recited to them from the Qur'an. So if you couple that with good sermon, with good speech, good address. If you couple that with qira'atul Qur'an, then it is speech that was amazing. This speech that was potent and strong and had brevity and depth. If you couple that with this beautiful speech and this beautiful recitation that had this strong meaning, it, ikhwan, had the greatest effect upon anyone who heard that da'wah. And even the arrogant one, even the kuffar from among the notables of Quraysh, even they knew, as we mentioned in previous narrations, they knew the Quran, it had sweetness, that they would say that we have heard and I've heard nothing like it, and you know that I am the most knowledgeable among you with the shi'r of the Arab and with their poetry. And so the Quran, ikhwan, this combination is a combination that cannot be abandoned by the da'i and by the caller to Allah Azza wa Jal. That he should not be a caller that just busies himself with sarsara. Sarsara, just yani yap, 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 yap. Yes, as beautiful as his speech may be and as eloquent as he may be, he should constantly accompany his speech with ayat from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Recite to them the Quran, even the Quran, ikhwan, when it is translated, the meaning, ikhwan, it is strong. Particularly for the one who hears the Quran and then has it translated to them. Even for that individual who doesn't understand the lughah al-arabiyya, but it has an effect upon the soul, ikhwan. It has an effect upon the soul. And I remember, ikhwan, when we were being called to Islam many, many moons ago, that we used to hear those ayat, and we didn't understand what was being recited, but it was almost, yani, the effect, ikhwan, was amazing. Yani, it blew us away. That this recitation, and then when it was translated, and we understood what those words meant, it had a strong effect, ikhwan, upon the soul. Yani, it was... inevitably, ikhwan, from the greatest causes of our turning towards Allah Azza wa Jalla and turning to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we knew that this was not from any man. This was not man-made, even though we didn't understand Arabic at that time. And so the recitation of the Qur'an and accompanying our call with the recitation of the Qur'an is of the essence. So Musab ibn Umayr, he called Usayd, gave him da'wah, and he recited to him the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, the two of them, they said, that is Mus'ab and As'ad, wallahi, la'arafna fi wajhihi al-Islam qabla an yatakallama bi fi ishraqihi wa tasahuli. He said, the two of them said, Mus'ab and Usayd, by Allah, we could see the Islam in his face. We knew just by looking at his face that he was interested and was ready for Islam. Just from the radiance and the change of his nature, he became easy. And just from his, before he even spoke, just from his countenance, we knew he was ready for deen. And so, they mention, فَقَالَ أُسَيْدْ مَا أَحْسَنَ هَذَا الْكَلَامُ وَأَجْمَلَ. And so he said, and how good what you're saying is, and how beautiful. And so he said, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُونَ إِذَا أَرَدْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا فِي هَذَا الدِّينِ. And so he said, so what would you do if you want to enter into this religion? And that was the first of the statements that he said. فقال له تغتسل فتتطهر وتطهر ثوبك ثم تشهد شهادة الحق. They said to him that you should make ghusl and purify your garments, and then you make a shahada, you bear testimony, a shahada of truth. And so then Usayd, he said, They said to him, ثم تصلي فقام فاغتسل وطهر ثوبه وشهد شهادة الحق ثم قام فركع ركعتين ثم قال لهما إن ورائي رجلا إن اتبعكما لم يتخلف عنه أحد من قومي. He said that behind me there is a man. If he follows the two of you, then nobody from his people will abandon him. No one will turn him down or reject him. Yani all of his people will follow him. And if you get him, you have the whole of his people. فَأَرْسَلَهُ إِلَيْكُمْ الْآنَ فَأَرْسِلْهُ إِلَيْكُمْ الْآنَ. He said, so I will send him to you now. He is Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. And so he took his hirba, took his spear, and this is all, his spear was still in the ground. He took his spear, and then he turned to Sa'd and to his people. And they were sitting in their nadi, that is in the gatherings that they have, when they discuss the affairs and the happenings within the region and within the city and the village and what have you. فَلَمَّا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ سَعْدِ بْنُ مُعَاذِ مُقْبِلًا قَالَ أَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ أُسَيْدِ بِغَيْرِ الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي ذَهَبَ بِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكُمْ. He said, I swear by Allah, Usaid is coming back to you with a face other than the face that he left you with. And he could tell that he's embraced. فَلَمَّا وَقَفَ أُسَيْدْ عَلَى النَّادِي قَالَ لَهُ سَعَدْ مَا فَعَلْتْ. And so when he came and he stood at the gathering, Sa'd said to him, what have you done? And so he said, كَلَّمْتُ الرَّجُلَيْنِ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُ بِهِمَا بَأْسٍ. I spoke to the two of them, and by Allah, I don't find any problem with them. وَقَدْ نَهَيْتُهُمَا قَالَا نفعل ما أحببت وقد حدثت أن بني حارثة خرجوا إلى أسد بن زرارة ليقتلوه وذلك أنهم عرفوا أنه ابن خالتك ليغفروك. That here Usaid, he then used a strategy with him. He didn't lie to him, but he used a strategy. He said that indeed, I said to them that they said to me that they would do that which you please. They would do whatever it is you see. He said, and I was informed of the fact that Banu Haritha, which is a tribe, that they had come for As'ad ibn Zurara. Yeah, they come to kill him. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُمْ عَرَفُوا and they knew. That he is your nephew. They know. Afwan, that he's your cousin. They know, and they come to kill him. And so, Ahl al-Ilm mentioned that he used that as a strategy that he would want to avenge the desire of these people to kill As'ad, which of course would cause him to incline towards As'ad as a relative. And to overlook the fact that he doesn't like necessarily that which he was calling to. And so, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he went angrily towards the two of them. And he was encouraged in that regard by that which Usaid had told him concerning Banu Haritha. And so he went over to them, and when he saw the two of them, he عرف أن أسيد إنهما أراد منه أن يسمع منهما. He knew that Usaid wanted that he should listen to the two of them. He understood that Usaid sent him to them so that they would speak to him and that he would listen to them. So he went over to them and he approached As'ad and Mus'ab متشمتاً with the same anger that Usaid went over to them with. فقال لأسعد بن زرارة يا أبا أمامة أما والله لولا ما بيني وبينك من القرابة ما رمت هذا مني. He said, Ya Asad, if it were not for the fact that we have relation, there is relation between the two of us, then you would not find this from me. He mentioned, أَتَغَشَّانَا فِي دَارِنَا بِمَا نَكْرَى. You will come to us in our, yani in our gathering with that which we dislike. You bring this to us. And so, he said, وَكَانَ أَسْرَ بِنُ زُرَارَةَ قَالَ لِمُسْعَ بِنُ أُمَيْرَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ وَاللَّهِ سَيِّدُ مَنْ وَرَاءَكَ مَنْ وَرَاءَهُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِنْ يَتَّبِعُوكَ لَا يَتَخَلَّفَ مِنْهُمْ إِثْنَيْنَ. Again, he reiterated, if this man follows you, no two people from among his people will oppose him. And so Mus'ab, he said to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, أَوَ تَقْعُدْ فَتَسْمَعْ. He said, then will you not sit down and listen to me? And so, إِنْ رَضِيْتَ أَمْرًا, if you're happy, then you'll follow. If you're not happy, then you leave it. And so he said, that is Sa'd, he said, I'm soft. He said, that's fair. And so he put his spear down, and then he sat down to listen. Just like Usaid. And so Mus'ab ibn Umair, again he gave him da'wah. Yani, and this time, of course, Sa'd, yani, muhim, Sa'd, if he comes, then the whole of his people will come. And so he began to give him da'wah, calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and recited to him verses from Surah Zukhruf, Hamim, والكتاب المبين, إنا جعلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. He recited to him from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hamim, by the Quran al-Mubin, by this manifest kitab, by this manifest book, indeed we have made it a Quran, an Arabic Quran that you may perceive. And so the two of them, they recited, or they gave da'wah to him. Mus'ab, he recited from the Quran, and then they both said, عرفنا والله في وجهه الإسلام قبل أن يتكلم لإشراقه وتسهله. They said, by Allah, we could see the Islam in his face before he even spoke, because of his countenance and the illumination and the change in his face. ثم قال لهما كيف تصنعون إذا أنتم أسلمتم ودخلتم في هذا الدين. Then he said to them, So what do you do then if you embrace this religion and you enter into this deen? And they said, you make ghusl, you purify yourself and your garment, and then you take the shahada, and then you make salah. فَقَامَ فَاغْتَسَلْ وَطَهَّرَ ثِيَابَهُ ثُمَّ شَهِدَ شَهَادَةَ الْحَقِّ ثُمَّ رَكَعَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ أَخَذَ حَرْبَتَهُ عائدا إلى نادي قومه ومعه أسيد بن الفضير. He said, so then he did so, he made ghusl, he took his spear, after he made salah, took his spear, and then he headed back to the gathering of his people. So when he went back to the gathering of his people, لما رآه قومه مقبلا قالوا نحلف بالله لقد رجع إليكم سعد بغير الوجه الذي ذهب به من عندكم. He said, by Allah, the people, they said, by Allah, Sa'd is coming back with a face other than the face that he left with. And so, when he returned, he said to them, addressing them, فَلَمَا وَقَفَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَالَ يَا بَنِي أَبْدِ الْأَشْأَلْ كَيْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ أَمْرِي فِيكُمْ. He said to them, Bani Abd al-Ash'al, what do you consider about me? What do you feel about me and the position that I have among you? And so they said, سيدنا وأفضلنا رأيا وأيمننا نقيبة. قال, they said that you're the leader of us and you're the best of us in opinion and the best of us as a person. قال, فإن كلام رجالكم ونساؤكم علي حرام حتى تؤمنوا بالله ورسوله. He said, then if that is the case, then your males and your females speaking to the males and the females among any of you is haram upon me until you believe in Allah and His Messenger. I will not speak to one of you until you believe in Allah and His Messenger. قال أي أسعد بن زرارة ومصعب فوالله ما أمسى في دار بني عبد الأشهل رجل ولا امرأة إلا مسلما ومسلمة إلا الأسير عمرو بن ثابت فإنه تأخر إسلامه إلى يوم أحد فأسلم. He said that by Allah, that is As'ab and Mus'ab, they both said that by Allah, by that evening, there was not a man or a woman from Bani Abd al-Ash'al except that they embraced Islam, other than Amr ibn Thabit, who his Islam came later. He delayed embracing Islam up until the Battle of Uhud, where he took Shahada. And he was the one that when he embraced Islam, he embraced and entered Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ laughed concerning his affair and said that he embraced and entered Jannah without making one sajda. And that is during the battle itself, yani during the war itself, he entered into Islam, he embraced. And then he said, turned to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said that indeed I smell Jannah in that direction. He set out behind behind Mount Uhud, or towards Mount Uhud, entered into battle and was martyred. And so he entered Islam and then entered Jannah without making a single sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the one who his Islam was delayed, he still entered upon khair. He still entered after something of a delay concerning his deen and entering into the deen. He entered upon khairi hal and was from the best of those who were martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is something of a snippet concerning the da'wah of Mus'ab ibn Umair during that initial year. That initial year, ikhwana, that initial foundation year in Medina led to another bay'ah the following year, which was known as bay'at al-Aqabah al-Thaniyah, which was known as the second bay'at al-Aqabah, which is one that was followed, or was, if you like, the grassroots fundamentals that led to the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions to Medina. And we'll look at that inshallah in next week's session. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.